This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allahu Akbar.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala khatam al-Nabiyyin wa imam al-Mursaleen habibina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Okay, how many of you guys have a pen and paper? The rest of you, mashallah, Bukhari memory, huh? Just everything is... All right, pen. Those of you who have pen and paper, take it out. If you have a smartphone, take it out. Open up your notepad. And if you don't have either, then I want you to make notes in your head. Okay? You can either, if you have a, if it's easier, pen and paper, make two columns. If you're using your iPad or iPhone or whatever it is. I just made the conversion, la hawla wa quwwata illa billah, from Android to iPhone last week. And it's been a struggle. I'm detox right now. If you take out your notepad, you can't make columns. Just make, you know, just make one list, and you're going to make a second list, okay? So on the first list, or the first column, I want you to write on the top, the headline of that column is good deeds that I do that people know about. Okay? Good deeds that I do that people know about. And in the second column, or underneath, go ahead and make a second list of good deeds that I do that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows about. So the first column, good deeds that we do that you know people know about. So if that's your wife, your husband, your friends, your mom, your dad, that all counts. All right. If your cat knows about it only, then I'll let it pass. Okay, but if it's anybody else, that goes in the first column. Number two, good deeds that you do that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows about. Now, I'm not going to ask you to do this, but maybe when you go home tonight, if you're willing to take an assignment, go ahead and make two more columns and write bad deeds that I do that people know about and bad deeds that I do that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows about. I think if we look at our columns, for the most of us, myself included, when I first did this exercise, and even now, not just when I first did this exercise, but even now, we find that the first column is very easy to fill. Very easy to fill. Taraweeh in the masjid, fasting this, fasting Mondays, Thursdays, Hajj, Umrah, all this good being good to my mom, everybody knows, right? But go to the second column, and I think a lot of us may struggle to write one, two, three things down, right? And if we take it a step further and go to the bad deeds, right? The bad deeds that we do that people know about, usually very few, hopefully very few, because that reflects something else we'll talk about in a second. And good deeds that we do that only, bad deeds that we do that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows about. Ibn Arabi rahimahullah ta'ala, one of the great scholars, you know what he says? He says, أخسر الخاسرين من أبدى للناس صالح أعماله وبارس بالقبيح من هو أقرب إليه من حبل الوريد. Ya Allah. He says, the biggest loser, the biggest loser, meaning on the day of judgment, the biggest loser will be the one who shows all his good deeds to the people. He appears to be this amazing person. But he almost wages war with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or with the one who is more closer to him than his own internal jugular vein. Right? If we look at this list, these columns that we have, it gives us a reflection about something. And that reflection is, or it reflects how we view Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly. How we truly view Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Because if we're more concerned about our reputation amongst society, our reputation with my family and my friends and my co-workers and my colleagues and the people at the masjid and the people at the gym, then we are about a relationship, or our reputation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our reputation with the angels and the samawat, then there's a problem. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the hadith of Rasulullah tells us that when he loves someone, he calls Jibreel alayhi salam. You see, we all have reputations both in this world and amongst the people, and we have a reputation in the samawat. And if Allah loves someone, he says, Ya Jibreel, inni uhibbu fulanan fa'ahibbah. Allah calls to Jibreel alayhi salam and says, Oh Jibreel, I love this person. And he mentions your name. He could mention your name. Sumayya, Fatima, Muhammad, Abdullah. He could mention your name in front of all the angels. among the higher than the seven heavens, right? When the Prophet ﷺ was told by Allah ﷻ told the Prophet ﷺ to go to Ubay ibn Ka'ab and recite him Surah Bayyina. Go to Ubay ibn Ka'ab and recite Surah Al-Bayyina. Now, Surah Al-Bayyina, by the way, it's a very hard surah. I think it's harder than Surah Al-Baqarah, personally. I think if the one surah that will keep me from becoming hafiz of the Quran is probably Surah Al-Bayyina. You know, you never hear anybody reciting it in Salah, do you? You'll hear somebody recite Surah Al-Baqarah, but you'll never hear Surah Al-Bayyina. You know, I actually once mentioned it in the Sweetness of Salah course I teach. And so the brother who was in the class said, you know what, I'm going to do it. So he recited Surah Al-Bayyina in Salat Al-Maghrib, and he made mistakes. It's a hard surah. But the Prophet, he says, I was commanded by Allah to go to you, Ubay ibn Ka'ab, and recite to you Surah Al-Bayyina. Now, how does that make you feel, man? Like, Ubay ibn Ka'ab is one of the people of the Quran, right? He was talking about the people of the Quran. If you get an ijaza in tilawa, you know, in tajweed, in the riwayah of Hafs, a chain that takes you back to the Prophet ﷺ and your recitation of the Quran, it'll go through the Sahaba, and one of the Sahaba that'll be listed in your chain is Ubay ibn Ka'ab. He's a person of the Quran. Right? And so Ubay ibn Ka'ab, when he's the Prophet of Allah, the one who his revelation is being sent to, is told to go to recite to him, how would they, you know, saying like, thank you very much. Yeah, I must be baller status. Mashari Rashid, you know what I'm saying? Like that level. When the Prophet, he just paused for a second. He's just like, whoa, 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 time out. He asked him one question. He said, Wasammani? Did he mention me by name? Did he say, recite to Ubay ibn Ka'ab? And he said, yes, he mentioned your name. And Fabaka Ubay. The narration says he just broke down crying. That Allah mentioned, who am I? Allah mentioned his name. Allah, everyone who Allah loves, you have a reputation with Allah. Allah says, Inni uhibbu fulan fa'ahibba. I love so and so, so Jibreel, love this person. And then Jibreel alayhi salam calls out to all the angels in the samawat. How many angels are in the samawat? You know what's amazing? The Prophet ﷺ says, أَطَّتِ السَّمَاءُ وَحُقَّ لَهَا أَنْ تَأْطِ. The skies have let out these sighs of like distress. The skies, the heavens, the skies above us have let out these cries of distress. And he says, they have every right to do so. He says, there is no space the width of a hand except that there is an angel prostrating, making sujood and praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how big are the samawat? When he says the skies, you know the sama' ad-dunya that we know? The lowest heaven, how big is it? The furthest, I looked this up a while ago and I forgot now, maybe somebody can help me. The furthest star that we've ever discovered. I don't know, it's like some whatever billion, trillion light years away, right? That's all part of the lowest heaven. Because Allah SWT says, وَلَقَدْ زَيَّنَّا السَّمَاءَ الدُّنْيَا بِزِينَةِ الْكَوَاكِبِ. We have decorated, we have beautified the lowest heaven with the beauty of stars. So as far as we have discovered, this is all the lowest heaven. But you know what the size of the lowest heaven is compared to the second heaven? Like the size of a ring in the desert. And the second to the third, and the third to the fourth, all the way to the seventh, like that compared to the kursi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is like a ring in a desert. All of these samawat are full of angels, and the angel Jibreel calls out to these angels saying, Allah loves Sumayya. So all of you love Sumayya. So all of them love Sumayya. فَيُوضَعُ لَهُ الْقَبُولَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Then the acceptance for this person will be placed in the hearts of the people. Similarly, if somebody was bad and Allah dislikes them, the same thing happens. But the point being, we all have reputations both in this world and the hereafter. And if we make our priority to rectify our reputation with the people of this world at the expense of our reputation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we've lost. Now we're the biggest losers. And here's the thing though. You see, we tend to try to hide our bad deeds. And if we do, that's a good sign. That's a sign that there's still some shame left in us that we're hopefully turning back to Allah in repentance. What's worse is someone who openly sins. They'll do something and they'll tell their friend the next day, you know what I did yesterday night? Or you know what website I went to or what club I hit up or what, you know, what I did with this person or that person? When you publicize your sins, and this is how serious of an issue it is, because the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa rahmati wasi'at kulla shay, has enveloped every single thing. The Prophet says in a hadith, sahih hadith, kullu ummati mu'afa illa al-mujahirun. Every single individual from my ummah is apt to be forgiven. He has the potential to be forgiven except for one group. Who is this one group? The group of people who they spend their night in sin. They spent their night in the cover of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as-sattar, the one who covers us and conceals our sins. And in the day, they uncover what Allah has covered by exposing what they've done. So they'll post on Facebook their pictures of what they're doing haram. Or they'll post on Twitter what they're doing haram. Or they'll go out openly in haram and commit haram. They'll have a boyfriend at school, a girlfriend at school, and it becomes normal now in the high school. So Muslim kids coming up now, ninth grade, come into the high school and say, oh wow, all the Muslims are doing it, why don't I do it? You make haram normal. And because of that, the doors of forgiveness are closed. That's terrifying. If you understand the mercy of Allah and how wide it is, that's terrifying. Right? But what about our good deeds? What about our good deeds? My talk today isn't about bad deeds. My talk today is about good deeds. What about our good deeds? You see, many of us, we don't have the same concept of, that we do with hiding our bad deeds with our good deeds, because they're good, right? We don't mind being known, right? I'm trying to get married. When I go to the masjid, I'm going to pray my 2 rakah sunnah, like Surah Baqarah. So the uncle who's there, whose daughter I want to marry, he sees me. And when he comes, say salam, say, I'm fasting today too, by the way, right? You want to be known. You tweet out, oh, Team Fajr, hashtag, oh yeah, Team Fajr, right? And I mean, that's cool if you're encouraging. I'm speaking generally terms here, but we talk about our good deeds. Hey, bro, you want a drink of water? Oh, I'm fasting today. That's fine. You're not lying. You're fasting today, but you could say, I'm good. I'm all right. Right? And then you kept that secret. Now you see the true ibad of Allah. They keep their good deeds secret just like you and I would keep our bad deeds secret. They will keep their good deeds secret like you and I will keep our bad deeds secret. And I want to share with you some examples. You know, Bilal ibn Rabah, the Prophet, he comes to him and he says, Ya Bilal, أخبرني بأرجى عمل عندك فإني سمعت دفن عليك بين يدي في الجنة. He says, oh Bilal, tell me what it is that you do. Tell me the deed that you do that you have the most hope in, for I have heard your footsteps in front of me in paradise. Now understand this. My focus today isn't the answer to the question. My focus today is what Ahlul Ilm say about Bilal's response. Bilal, he told Rasulullah what his deed that he does that he's most hopeful about. And if you want to know what it is, check out sweetnessofsalat.com. I'm not going to tell you today. But what they say is if the questioner was anyone other than the Prophet ﷺ, Bilal would not have answered the question. If the questioner was anyone other than the Messenger of Allah, he wouldn't have answered the question. Because that's something between him and his best friend. Something between him and his best friend, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see, you know, there's so many stories of scholars and the like, you know, people who would fast, Salaf who would fast, their wife would prepare for them some breakfast, and he would take the breakfast and some lunch, and his wife is thinking he's eating the lunch at work, but what he does is he gives it in charity on the way. And so when he comes back home, he eats dinner, thinking the family doesn't know that he was fasting, but he fasted all day. Right? The Sahabi who would get up and from the Salaf, even from today, people who would get up and pray at night, quietly sneak out of the bed, quietly go to the bathroom so their mom doesn't wake up, or their wife or their husband doesn't wake up, or their cat doesn't wake up, and they make their wudu, they go pray, and they come back to bed so when the Fajr alarm goes off, they act like they're just waking up for the first time. They keep their deeds secret. Right? And there's so many examples of this. But you know what's... Here's the thing. And this is beautiful. You know, it's amazing what fascinates people. You know, just with Twitter and Facebook and stuff, like the tweets that get a lot of retweets and tweets that get a lot of... Facebook posts that get a lot of shares and stuff. Sometimes the most like inconsequential, silly things. And some of this stuff is just like, whew, just shakes you, man. Everybody's like, eh, whatever. Right? This is one of those things that all of you on Twitter should tweet. This is, you know, this is just... Whew, this is something like another level powerful, right? This Sufyan ibn Uyayna rahimahullah ta'ala, he says about this verse, about the verse that you perhaps all have heard in Salat al-Jum'ah. The khutbah, oftentimes the khatib ends the khutbah by saying, Inna Allah ya'muru bil adli wal ihsan wa ita'id al-qurba wa yanha an al-fahsha'i wal munkari wal baghi ya'idhukum la'allakum tadhakkarun. You've heard that before? You've heard the verse before, it's familiar to you. What does it mean? It means Allah orders you to al-adl al-ihsan and ita'id al-qurba. Allah commands you to adl, justice, wal-ihsan, and excellence, wa ita'id al-qurba, and giving to relatives, and forbids immorality and bad conduct and oppression. And he reminds you so that you may be those who remember. You know, Sufyan rahimahullah, he says about this ayah, he says, what is al-adl al-ihsan? Al-adl al-ihsan, justice and excellence. He says, al-adl an tastawi al-alaniya was-sarira. Justice is that your public life and your private life are one and the same. That's being just. Your public life and your private life are the same. And he says, وَالْإِحْسَانِ أَن تَكُونَ سَرِيرَةُ الْمَرْءِ أَعْظَمُ مِنْ عَلَانِيَتِهِ. And he says, an ihsan, an excelling, is that your private life is actually better than your public life. You see, nowadays, if you're trying to get married, you're looking into, you know, spouse, potential spouse, you got to do mad background checks, right? You got to send like spies into the masjid. You got to like, you know what I'm saying, go Facebook stalking and Twitter stalking and everything to find out, man, who is this person really, right? Back in the day, it was different. Back in the day, after you get married, then you find out your wife is someone who does this, this, and this. And your love for her increases more and more and more. It was different. It was just a different paradigm, right? But now so many people live these double lives, right? But subhanAllah, if we wanted to know what our life in the grave would be like, the first step of Akhirah is the grave, right? Akhirah starts when the angel of death comes. It's not the day of judgment. And if we want to know what our life will be like in the grave, يَقُولُ أَهْلُ الْعِلْمِ, the scholars say that to know your life in the grave, simply look at your life in private. And that will give you a good reflection of what your life in the grave will be like. For some people, that's scary. For some people, that's awesome. Right? Which group do we fall in? And you know, if we truly loved Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we would love to do deeds solely for Him. Right? Just like, you know, when a brother and sister get married, right? I'll go ahead and say a new couple, all right? Because maybe after 1 month or 1 year, I don't know what it's going to be like. When the first month at least, or the first 2 months, or hopefully their whole lifetime, they're so much in love with one another that they'll love to do things for the one they love, right? They'll love to do things for the one they love. And it's a secret. They don't want anybody else to know. Like if I did something for my wife and then my wife goes and tells her mom that, oh, you know, if Farhan, you know, I'd be like, you know, like, that was kind of between us, you know? It was a special connection that you share, right? And similarly, the ibad al-Rahman, they share this special connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The deeds they do, they don't want anyone to share in that. It's between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? And that's the definition of ikhlas. That every sincerity, every single thing we do, what we say, how we move, how we dress, how we act, every single aspect of our life is solely done for Allah with no other gain in mind. With absolutely no other gain in mind. And if you're doing good deeds, you know what? You know, I'm working in the ICU this month. It's a tough month. Every day when I'm going on the way to work, I'm making the adhkar al-sabah. I'm saying, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min an adilla aw udall aw azilla aw uzal aw adlima aw udlam. Allahumma yassir khayran min fi hadha al-yawm wa khayran ma ba'da. I'm making all these dua because it's scary in the ICU. Patients are dying. And I don't want to be one to kill one of these patients, right? I want to be able to save them, right? I'm making this dhikr every day I go to work when I'm in the ICU. But you know, when I was working in the ER, it's not as critical as ICU can be, but I wasn't making this dhikr on the way to work. So part of my mindset, what am I? I'm not doing it solely, and I'm preparing for the talk, I'm reflecting on this. My dhikr is not solely for Allah. It's partly for, it could be a good reason. It could be to save someone, right? I could be giving charity because I want barakah in my rizq so I can provide for my family. That's fine. That's part of your intention if that's there. But I'm saying the true ibad al-Rahman, no matter what it is, it's solely for Allah with no strings attached. No strings attached. It's truly solely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you live a life like that, where your whole life is guided by this philosophy, that you have this special connection with Allah and you have these secrets with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As-sarira, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you know, إِنَّهُ عَلَىٰ رَجْعِهِ لَقَادِرٌ يَوْمَ تُبْلَى السَّرَائِرُ. Allah says, most definitely He has full capability to bring these people back. Right? On the day of judgment, then He says, يَوْمَ تُبْلَى السَّرَائِرُ. On the day when the sara'ir will be exposed and put to the test. What is sara'ir? Sarira, the Arabic word sarira, refers to something that is, you know, that is intentionally made a secret. intentionally made hidden. Allah says, on this day, these secrets will be brought forth. These secrets will be exposed. These secrets will be put to the test. Right? And so what do the scholars, what do they say? مَا كَانَ فِي سَرِّيْتِ الْعَبْدِ يُظْهِرُ اللَّهُ عَلَى وَجْهِ. Allah is going to bring whatever the secrets of this person was and expose it on his face. It will be exposed. It will be seen. Clearly evident. Who will be, whose secret life was righteous and whose secret life wasn't. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, كَأَنَّمَا أُغْشِيَتْ وُجُوهُمْ قِطْعًا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ مُظْلِمًا. About those who did bad deeds, he says, it is as if a قِطْعًا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ. You know, if the night is dark, it's black, right? Allah gives a description, he says, as if a piece of this darkness came onto their face. So they'll come on the day of judgment. You could see their limbs and everything else, but their face is blacked out. Their nose, their eyes, their facial features, the unique characteristics that separates you from you and you from you, it'll be gone. Just have this piece of the, as if a piece of the night is covering their face, right? And the other people, وُجُوهُ يَوْمَئِذٍ مُصْفِرَةٌ ضَاحِكَةٌ مُسْتَبْشِرَةٌ يَوْمَ تَبْيَضُّ وُجُوهُ وَتَسْوَدُّ وُجُوهُ. Allah will make other faces bright and shiny, right? And so on this day when the secrets will be exposed, it can be a terrifying proposition for some of us. All our secrets are exposed. All of our secrets will be exposed. But you know what's interesting? And this is from the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is from the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He did not make the judging of mankind in the hand of any other person except for Him. Because we may think we know things about someone and we don't. Right? We may think small, we may think somebody, oh, this person is not righteous, this person doesn't do this or doesn't do that. But in the eyes of Allah, they're very powerful. The Sahaba once looked at Ibn Mas'ud, he was on climbing the tree getting some miswak. And they began laughing at him because his legs were very thin. And the Prophet said, you're laughing at the legs of Ibn Mas'ud? And they said, yeah, they're kind of small, you know. It's kind of funny. The Prophet said, by Allah, his legs on the Day of Judgment are heavier than the mountain of Uhud. Mountain of Uhud is a huge mountain, like 12 kilometers long. Right? You may think insignificant of someone, but in the eyes of Allah, they're powerful. Right? So it is from the justice of Allah that He kept judging to Himself. Why? Because for some of us, maybe when we're hearing this, when our secrets will be exposed, we're scared. Right? But for the Ibad al-Rahman, the true slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they're hearing this, they feel a sense of satisfaction. That all these things that I'm doing now that only Allah knows about, there's coming a day when Allah will reward me for it. That day is coming. You know, the best moment is when you get to be alone and meet with the one you love the most. The one you love the most, when you get to be with them and meet them, that's the best moment. So for the believers, their best moment is the day they get to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all these secret deeds are exposed. All their tahajjud is exposed. All their serving their mother is exposed. All their being good to the creation of Allah is exposed. And it's not just fasting and this and that. You know, when you're walking to campus and you see a squirrel, you know, chilling on the side, grabbing some whatever he's looking for and doing his thing, you could walk right by him and you have every right to do so. But knowing that this is a creature of Allah, and this creature of Allah is scared of these tall things with 2 feet that walk, and they're always on looking at some like device in their hand the whole time they're walking, right? Out of mercy for this squirrel, you choose to cross the road, wait 10 seconds for the cars, cross the road and walk on the other side. Nobody knows what you did. Nobody will think about it for a second. But Allah knows that out of sincerity to Allah and showing mercy to this creature of Allah, you chose to walk a different path. That's what I mean by this true relationship with Allah, that it envelops your life. Everything you do now has a meaning and a purpose. Right? When you live a life like that, you prepare for the day you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, تَتَجَافَى جُنُوبُهُمْ عَنِ الْمَضَاجِعِ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. Allah says, some of these righteous slaves of Allah, they are those who get up from the bed at night. And again, we're giving this example, but it could be anything. They get up from the bed at night, they call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in fear and hope, and from what Allah has given them, they spend in the way of Allah. So they do things secretly, They hid their deeds in this world. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says in response, فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ مِنْ قُرَّةِ أَعْيُنٍ جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Allah says, they hid their deeds. They woke up quietly at the night and prayed. They gave what their right hand, what even their left hand didn't know. They were so sincere and they hid their deeds. So Allah says in response, and so no soul knows what has been hidden for them as well from their reward, from the coolness of their eyes. جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. As a reward for what they did. They hid their deeds in this world. Allah hid their reward. A special, absolutely amazing reward for them in the hereafter. Right? And on the day of judgment, brothers and sisters, when we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala having lived a life like this, it will be a day of happiness. It will be a day of happiness. Right? When Ibrahim alayhi salam, the angel of death, they take permission from the prophets before they take their souls. And so when Ibrahim alayhi salam, the angel of death came to him, it's come in the narration that he said to the angel of death, he said, أَرَأَيْتَ خَلِيلًا يُمِيتُ خَلِيلًا. He's like, whoa, time out, man. This doesn't jive with me. Says, Ibrahim is the best friend of Allah, the Khalil of Allah. We know him as the best friend of Allah. So Ibrahim is saying, how is it that Allah will cause death to his best friend? Right? أَرَأَيْتَ خَلِيلًا يُمِيتُ خَلِيلًا. And he says, the angel of death says in response, or is said to Ibrahim in response, Ya Ibrahim, أَرَأَيْتَ حَبِيبًا يَكْرَهُ لِقَاءَ حَبِيبِهِ. Oh Ibrahim, do you understand a scenario in which the one who is in love hates to meet the one who he loves? Right? The one who lives like this, they'll look forward to the day of judgment. When the angel of death comes, قَدْ جَاءَتَ الرَّاحَةِ. Now is the time to rest, right? Allah, when He describes the three different people in Surah Al-Waqi'ah, the awliya of Allah and the people of Jannah and the people of hellfire. Those who are closest to Allah, He says, فَأَمَّا إِن كَانَ مِنَ الْمُقَرَّبِينَ فَرَوْحٌ. Those who are close to Allah, their first description Allah gives is that they have rest. Now they have rest. Because they were working in this world. فَرَوْحٌ وَرَيْحَانٌ وَجَنَّةُ نَعِيمٍ. They have rest and they have reward and they have a great paradise. Now I'll end, the time is up. I'm going to end with this hadith that's in the books of Imam Tirmidhi. It's an authentic hadith. And the Prophet ﷺ, he says, يُصَاحُ بِرَجُلٍ مِّنْ أُمَّتِي يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَ عَلَى رُؤُوسِ الْخَلَائِقِ فَيُنْشَرُ لَهُ 99 سِجِلًا كُلُّ سِجِلٍ مَدَّ الْبَصَرِ. He says, it will be called on the day of judgment, billions of people there, يُصَاحُ بِرَجُلٍ مِنْ أُمَّتِي يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَ عَلَى رُؤُوسِ الْخَلَائِقِ. One person. يَا فُلَان ابن فُلَان استعد الْوُقُوفِ بَيْنَ يَدَيِ اللَّهِ. In front of everybody, one person is called forth. Stand up and prepare to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all his bad deeds are brought and they are as long. They fill up 99 scrolls. Each scroll is so far as the eye can see. Each scroll is so far as the eye can see. And the hadith says, ثم يقول الله عز وجل هل تنكر من هذا شيئا فيقول لا يا رب. Allah asks him, and look at his justice, do you deny anything that's in these 99 scrolls of bad that you have done? And he says, no, O Allah, I don't deny it. What can I say? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فيقول أظلمتك كتبتي الحافظون. كتبتي الحافظون, have those, the angels recording your deeds, wronged you in any way? And then he will say, ألك عذر ألك حسنة. Do you have any excuse? Do you even have one good deed that you brought forth with you? فيهاب الرجل فيقول لا. The man will become terrified because he knows he doesn't. And he says, no, I have nothing. I have no excuse and I don't even have one good deed to bring. Then Allah says, فَيَقُولُ بَلَا إِنَّ لَكَ عِنْدَنَا حَسَنَاتٍ وَإِنَّهُ لَا ظُلْمَ عَلَيْكَ الْيَوْمِ. Allah says, no, you do have some good deeds. And most definitely, there is no injustice today. No injustice today. فَتُخْرَجُ لَهُ بِطَاقَةٍ فِيهَا أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. So a card is brought out. And all it says on this one card compared to 99 scrolls is أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. So he will say,
يَا رَبْ مَا هَذِهِ الْبِطَاقَةِ مَا هَذِهِ السِّجِلَّاتِ فَيَقُولْ إِنَّكَ لَا تُظْلَمْ.
The man will say, Ya Allah, what's the point? What is this one card, this card, compared to 99 scrolls for as far as Allah I can see?
And Allah says, you will not be wronged. So the card will be put on one side of the scale, and the scrolls on the other, and the card will outweigh it.
Now what's the point? I just talked about all these secret deeds we need to do, and that's what we need to be successful, then I'm saying one card will save you. What's the point? This is the point.
Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he says that deeds are not given credence one over another based on their number or based on how they look.
وَإِنَّمَا تَتَفَاضَلُ بِتَفَاضُلِ مَا فِي الْقُلُوبِ.
But they're given preference based on what's in the heart. And he goes on, and I have my time is up, so I'll... Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, this is the point. He says, take for example, there's two hadith, I'll share one just for the sake of time. The hadith of the woman from Bani Israel who is a prostitute. But she saw a thirsty dog, and out of mercy for the dog, gave it some water. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave her all her sins and granted her paradise for that one deed. One deed. One deed. All her sins forgiven and she's granted paradise. Right? Why? Why is it that she was granted paradise? Because what we're talking about. That sincerity in the heart. That you know what? This is for Allah. This is for Allah. And that sincere moment that enters the heart and the deed that's performed based on that can be enough. Now if we live a life like that, then imagine the reward. Allah says,
هَذَا يَوْمُ يَنْفَعُ الصَّادِقِينَ صِدْقُهُمْ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٌ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ.
Allah says, today, on the day of judgment, those who were truthful, sincere, they had this true relationship with me, this is the day their truthfulness will benefit them. For them is gardens underneath which rivers flow, they will stay therein forever. Allah is pleased with them, and they are pleased with Allah, and that is the greatest reward. وَأَقُولُ قَوْلِي هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. جزاكم الله خيرا والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.